Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in.
Hey David Thomas.
Hey Sissy Goff.
I'm so excited to do part two of our college age kids, and I'm excited to hear what Melissa has to say about them too.
I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun ending of this episode.
Yes, it will. It's been so much fun to talk about kids in this stage.
I agree.
And as we record this, you are about to be with a whole lot of them.
Oh, I am.
Over the summer. It makes me excited for those kids, thinking about all the growth that we've been discussing happens in these years, and even I'm about to talk about uniquely in those kind of spaces.
Yes,
so.
I love that. And as we think about what they need, who they are seems easier because what they need feels hard to know and to navigate.
It does.
Both things. I asked some really wise friends.
You did?
Including your wife.
She is so wise.
She is so wise.
I can't wait to hear what feedback you got.
Well, I got great feedback. It was really fun. And I think it was really fun to ask. I texted a bunch of friends, but I was with one friend in person. And even for them to step back and think about it, which maybe is a fun place to start. Y'all, before you listen to this episode, write down three things you think your kids at this age need.
What a great challenge.
And then we'll throw out, we bet you're right, because we, you know, you hear us say it all the time, trust your gut.
Yes.
You know your kids more than anybody else. And we'll throw out three more things for girls and for guys. How about that?
I love that plan.
And then for those of you who are just starting this episode, hang on till the end, because we're going to have a conversation that you don't even fully know about that I think could not be any more important in this day and time about girls and guys and their relationships with each other. So hang on till the end.
Hang on till the end.
Okay, let's start with boys. What do they need? Three things. Tell me.
Okay, I'd say three things they need. And you set the stage for this beautifully at the end of our conversation about who they are. I think they need training ground. I have long believed that I think the summers of the college years are every bit as important as what happens in the academic year. I really do. I think there is as much learning and growth in those few months as in the 9 months that came before. No different than, you tell me if you agree with this with girls, but I've long said, I think there's as much learning in the college years that happens outside the classroom as inside the classroom.
Like, oh, absolutely.
I learned a lot getting my degree, but oh my goodness, I learned even more living with roommates.
Yes.
Getting called out on things that I needed to be called out on.
Yes.
Dating and breaking up, like all the things that happen outside of the classroom. And I think that's so much where this training ground idea comes from. Mm-hmm. And I want to agree with something you said last time. I just want to echo it again because it was so important. Like, I too would want every boy to spend at least one summer, if not multiple, giving out in some way. And that can look a thousand different ways. That could be working at a camp. That could be going on a mission trip. That could be an internship, a practicum. But I want you to be very intentional in sitting down and brainstorming with him what those summers could look like. Because I would argue that I think, even back to the pressure you and I talked about kids experiencing on the front side, I think that can spill over into these summers where they start thinking more about resume building than they do about growth opportunities.
Wait, can I pause?
Please.
As a summer camp director?
Please.
That is where everything has gone. Now it is all about resume building. And y'all, I think we've got to slow the train.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's not only creating more anxiety in kids, it's robbing them of their summers. And I did some great summers moving towards the field, but I learned more and grew more doing things I was giving of myself.
Absolutely.
And so I think, yes, at least once a month. I'm so glad you said that, David, because I would love to push back.
Me too. Me too. And just watch the good growth happen in that training ground is what I would want to say in summary to all that. I think boys also need reduced support. And I want to talk about it in three ways. I think they need reduced physical support, emotional support, and financial support.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that can be some tricky territory. But that physical support is everything from he really needs to be doing his own laundry at that point, preparing his own meals, going to the grocery store, like all those things that we know he's going to have to do on his own in the next season that are just easy to slide back into doing that don't create enough opportunity for practice in those spaces. And I think emotional support, we talked about this last time, where I'm not problem solving for him, but I'm being a sounding board for him to problem solve for himself. And then I think financial support, figuring out how do we slowly start to hand more things over to him so that he is developing the skills to save, steward, spend money wisely, because that's not something kids just wake up knowing how to do. And the hope would be we've already been practicing in some of those spaces. We talked about that in stage 4 already, but we really want to accelerate that at this point. And think about what resources we want to pull in, whether that's having them take a financial peace class, engaging some of our dear friend Rachel Cruz's great resources, yes, just so they're developing those needed and foundational skills. And then lastly, I would say he needs patience and blessing. And I think equal parts of both, because we talked about how clunky their thinking is as they're, you know, working through that underdeveloped thinking last time, where in the ambivalence, he's going to experience in the transitions a lot of loss. Like I find that part of that ambivalence and I'm ready to take on the world is also equally matched by I'm scared to death and I worry. I talk so much about how boys worry they don't have what it takes. And so I think watch for where that ambivalence is playing out in different moments where he's racing forward and pulling back and where he needs a lot of patience and also a lot of blessing. I love how many parents strategically host dinners for their kids when they're 18, you know, some kind of blessing ceremony as they launch into that new season. And I wrote a lot about that in the Rites of Passage chapter in Wild Things. I think that's so important. And I've known a lot of families who've done that at 21 too. And talked with some friends recently who hosted a dinner for their daughter at 21 and brought together all these women who'd been foundational in her life and just spoke blessing over her going into adulthood. And I just think we can't be thinking enough about those kind of opportunities as kids launch into this next young adult space. Okay. When Connie and I came over for dinner the other night, I saw your walking pad. Tell me about it.
My friend Catherine had one, and I decided to try it so I would be moving my body more.
Can you walk patches on that walking pad?
No, and she is not happy about me doing an indoor walk when we could be on an outdoor walk. But the weather's still cold in Nashville, and I can walk while I'm watching a show.
Well, look at you multitasking. Last night, I ate ice cream while I packed for our trip to Atlanta. How's that for multitasking?
Well, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last year, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel energized, nourished, and ready to take on the day.
That's because each serving of AG1 delivers a daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple.
Healthy aging shouldn't feel complicated.
Tell that to my back and feet.
The thought of taking multiple supplements, mixing and matching pills and powders sounds exhausting, but just one daily scoop of AG1 covers my nutrient gaps and supports my mental and physical health without a lot of hassle.
We are headed to Mississippi to speak, and I'm throwing the travel packs in my suitcase. It makes it so easy when we're on the road.
If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them for so long.
So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/RBG.
That's drinkag1.com/RBG. Check it out. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
So what would you say about girls?
Very similar things. And the first phrase is something that a friend said that I loved what she said. She said, I think they need scaffolded independence. Isn't that a great way to say
that?
I know. I thought the same. And it's funny. I would say I want us to think strategically even before they go away to college about scaffolded independence. And I love to sit with parents of kids who are seniors and say, what are the things you want to learn to do this year? What are the things you don't know how to do that I can teach you, like laundry, like cooking, like changing your oil? What are those things that we can lean in? Because I think it helps them believe they're capable as they move forward. And I will never forget going with my mom to take my sister to college. And at the end of Sorority Rush, watching the parents with U-Hauls moving their kids out because they didn't get the sorority they wanted. Mm. That doesn't look like scaffolded independence. That looks like surrounded rescuing to me.
Yes.
And that is not what they need. They need us to help set them up to know they can do hard things, that we put those things in place and we remind them of that. I was doing some research this morning about mental health among college kids. And there is more anxiety. There's more depression than there's ever been, certainly. And one article I read said, college kids report frequent stress today. And I thought, well, I think I experienced frequent stress when I was in college.
I know, didn't you?
Yeah. And I, again, I think that can be part of the problem is we're not preparing them well. We're not communicating to them about what it can be like. Go back and watch the episode on who they are if you haven't, because we talk about that. But I think to say to them, it's going to be hard. It's going to take you a minute to find your people like we talked about. So let's talk about some things you can do. What are some ideas you have in finding your people right when you get there? And see if they can get to, well, I need to find an organization to be involved in. I met with a girl freshman year, and she said, I have tried three different campus ministries, and I've committed to going three times to each. She's a really thoughtful kid. And I loved that she was working that hard to figure it out. But as a parent, when you're doing campus tours, find out about those things with your kids. Let them explore those ideas. Scaffolded independence often means helping them know the options are there. Even if your child has been in counseling, if they're anxious, if they've struggled with some depression, find the counseling center on campus. And go with them and yes. ask questions. Let them ask questions. And then keep reminding them that that's an opportunity. It doesn't mean you call and make the sessions for them. That's not scaffolded independence. Again, that's stepping in. But how can you help them find their ways to those things? And I think in light of that, part of that scaffolded independence is I have also had a handful of kids over the years who have really tanked. Like you talked about, I mean, emotionally really tanked and hit a hard place. And I think because those parents had scaffolded independence in place, they were checking on them every so often, not every hour. A lot of college girls, I think, particularly, are going to want to talk to you every day. That's fine. But they were checking on them regularly to the degree that they knew when they were struggling. And then they did things like said in the beginning, what do you need to do to find your way to some help? Okay, I want you to let me know when you've done that. Not, I'm going to make the appointment for you, but I want you to let me know yes. when you've done that. And I know another family who she just couldn't get herself there. And then the parents called somebody they knew on campus to go check on her. Again, didn't drive there yet. And then third, for this family, they ended up having to drive there and bring her home because she was really struggling. But to me, that is scaffolded independence. I'm going to put things in place to trust you to yes. do the work first, and then I'm going to step in if you can't, just like we've hopefully been doing all along the way. So number one, scaffolded independence with accountability. Number two, other voices. Mm. And it's funny, that's one of the things every person I talk to about this age of girl talked about. And I think part of potentially why every parent talked about it was because it's hard. And there are grown-ups that step into their lives in a season that we're not there yeah. in the everyday. And that could be a coach, that could be a teacher, that could be a parent that they babysit for, it could be a campus minister, anything like that. But we want those other voices for them. They're so important yes. for kids. I can sure think of the people that invested me in that window. And I learned and grew so much, and I needed voices that were different. Yeah. And one of my wise friends said, when all that's happening, we need to not take things so personally. It's not a rejection of us. Yeah. And it's not. It's just adding to. It's just more voices that are speaking truth. And number three, this is a combo of all the things that people said, cheers, ears, and prayers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cheers, ears, and prayers, where we are cheering them on because they are going to have big dreams in this season. And if, I mean, I really did change my major 3 times. Did you?
Oh, I've lost count with how many I changed mine.
And I think my parents were excited for me every single time.
Sure.
And so how do we cheer them on with the big dreams? We listen. We don't correct them. And one mom I talked to, I love that she said this. She said, and I need to make sure I'm not saying when I was in college, which great. We can go back to that so easily. And the ears is listening. Another friend said, give advice when asked and hold our tongues when not. And then cheers, ears, and prayer. I want us to be praying for them often, every time you think about them. And then for them to know that's what you're doing. And this one really wise mom said, it is so fun to pray for my daughter and sit back and watch God work in her life. Trusting that she's listening to God and following him takes faith on my part, but he has never let me down. He loves her even more than I do, and he's got her. It's fun to watch God at work in the bigger picture of her story. That beautiful. Wow. You can probably guess what mom said that.
I think I could.
Love those words. And
it's exquisite.
And sometimes they might not be following God right now. And then we continue to pray like crazy, and we ask good questions, and we listen, and we still cheer them on.
Yes.
Because if that becomes the thing we're talking about the most, they will often shut down and not talk to us. So cheers, ears, and prayers.
I love that.
Okay. Can our takeaway be together on this
yes.
one?
Yes.
Let's talk about dating.
Let's do.
Because I think it's such, I don't think that's ever been harder in the lives of kids through high school and college. And I need to understand what's going on with these boys.
Yes.
Because I have so many girls who were never asked out in high school, which I think is only contributing to some of the confusion that's rampant right now, and who never even have a date in college.
Yeah.
And I think often those girls think something's wrong with them. And we have a friend recently who said her daughter was struggling with wanting validation from boys. And one of my first responses was, everything I've learned from you, that is, they are behind. They're a stage behind you developmentally. And so often they're not there. They're not ready. And I think we've got to have conversations around that. But I think it's so hard. And we also have talked about this, that we're seeing more girls. I'm seeing more girls than ever before who are ending up in their very first relationship, either towards the tail end of college or out of college, who it might not be the guy we would have picked for them. And it feels like some of that is because when we were in college, I mean, I'm not bragging, because this was like the reality for what the University of Arkansas was like. I sometimes had 3 dates in a day. We would have a lunch date. We called them Coke dates, where you'd go on a Coke date before dinner, and then I'd have a dinner date. I got to be around so many different guys and see what I was attracted to, what I was drawn to, what was good in terms of what kind of guy that I wanted. And by the way, y'all, I'm single, if you don't know that. And I think so many girls feel this panic about that as well. And so I'm going to sidetrack about that for just a second, because I want us to talk about that with girls too, because I think that's part of sometimes even the dating guys that aren't great, is they think, I don't want to be alone. And you all, I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast, I would never have guessed that I would be single and not have children. And I'm so grateful. There's been a lot of grief along the way, and I believe I'm living in God's calling for me. And I'm so grateful at the opportunities that I have had in my life, the places He has used me, that I can look back and say, all my life He's been faithful, and there's so much good. And so I want girls to know, even if they're not with someone, they're okay. Even if it takes a long time, they're okay. And that whatever that looks like. Now, I wouldn't have wanted someone to say at 22, you're never going to get married, because I would have probably tanked. But to say God has His good, your good in His mind and heart, and that's what will take place all along the way. He knows what you need at every stage of your life. And I think for us to say that, you're okay where you are, and these boys are behind, I think is really an important conversation to have.
Sissy, did you have another bunking party at your house this weekend?
I did.
First of all, for all those folks living outside the state of Arkansas, tell them what a bunking party is.
A bunking party growing up in Arkansas was what we called a sleepover, but a bunking party is a much cuter way to name it. And so I think it should all be bunking parties from now on.
What did you all do at the bunking party?
There is very little we did not do. We started out with burgers and bowling.
Where did you go?
We picked up burgers, and the bowling happened at my house.
Have you installed a bowling alley at your house?
No, but thanks to KiwiCo, I have. We built an armadillo bowling set.
How much do we love KiwiCo?
I can't describe how much I love KiwiCo. Henry and I just ordered the veterinarian starter kit. I'm hoping it will jumpstart his career so I can get a discount on vet visits in the future for Patches.
That is brilliant.
Whit loves the push and go walker wagon. He and Patches are quite the parade around my house.
I need to see that parade.
I just ordered the fort builder's kit, and I think the boys are going to lose their minds.
I would lose my mind with that. And KiwiCo delivers seriously fun learning for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities.
Each month, kids receive crates packed with engaging hands-on activities designed to introduce them to exciting science, technology, and art concepts. There's always something new for kids to discover, like engineering robots or learning about the science of ice cream.
I would love to know more about the science of ice cream. With 9 monthly programs to choose from, KiwiCo has something for kids of all ages, ranging from infants and preschoolers to teens and beyond.
Discover real science, technology, engineering, art, and math concepts through fun, hands-on projects delivered to your door every month.
Each crate is designed by real experts and tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age-appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun.
Crates come with everything needed for kids to build, including materials and instructions.
You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are, too.
It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children engaged, challenged, and off their screens.
KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel anytime.
Cultivate your child's natural curiosity while encouraging them to be an innovator and creative thinker.
The best part? Watching their creative confidence grow as they tackle different challenges. The moment of pride and accomplishment at the end of a KiwiCo project sparks creative confidence for ongoing tinkering and experimentation.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code RBG.
That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com, promo code RBG. I am so thankful you are talking about this. And I would say first, I know with great certainty you are living in the center of God's calling on your life, as does every person listening who's experienced your wisdom.
That's okay.
And I think secondly, we aren't talking enough about this, and this feels so important. And yeah. I talked in an earlier episode, and I'm trying to remember in what stage, and I don't remember, about how I'm seeing fewer boys than ever engage healthy risk is what I talked about. And that starts with in elementary school, I don't want to try out for this sports team or this extracurricular experience. Take the risk of I might get cut. I might not make the team. And then it jumps to I don't want to get my first part-time job. I don't want to get my driver's permit. I've never seen as many boys stalling or resisting getting a driver's license. And that involves a lot of risk. And then it's, I don't want to ask a girl to a homecoming dance.
Yeah.
And then it's, I don't want to apply to college. And the current stats are that enrollment is down like never before with males applying to undergrad. And I am so deeply troubled by that. But I think it's all the way back to the front side of all the wisdom, Sissy, of what you talk about with anxiety. If we are moving toward escape and avoidance with the kids we love, not moving them toward healthy risk, support, and challenge within that, then by the time they get to this point, I'm not surprised when boys don't want to ask a girl on a date. There's so much risk. She might say no.
Right.
And so as you are talking about that, I have had a couple of thoughts. I think I have said for a lot of years to parents of high school age boys, like, I want him to go to every homecoming dance. Like, I think it's good practice, no different than driving a car for a year when you have your permit. Like,
so he good,
needs
David.
The practice of asking.
Yes.
He needs the practice of talking with a girl's dad when he goes to her house to make the ask. Like, there's so much practice with that. He needs the practice of sitting across the table from a girl at dinner and carrying the conversation, like making plans, helping coordinate the photos, all those parts and pieces that will be a part of his life that if he's not practicing then, I'm never surprised when boys aren't asking girls out in college. Secondly, I want to say I have all kinds of concerns about the amount of time that boys are spending gaming with a headset on and calling that relationship. And hear me say very clearly, I'm fine with boys having that experience with good, healthy limits. But I think it's becoming the primary context for relationship for a lot of boys that they're carrying into college. And again, not reading the 70 to 80% of all communication, which is nonverbal, which makes asking a girl out on a date feel that much scarier because I don't have all these skills in place. And so all of that feels important to acknowledge alongside your wisdom of he's behind. And I remember when I was doing the research for stage five in the book and finding that a lot of girls will ask, a lot of girls will end up in relationship with guys who are 2 to 3 years older chronologically because emotionally they're probably more on par.
Right.
And it makes so much sense, doesn't it? As we talk about this spread of what's going on developmentally for kids at this point. But I'm really thankful we're having this conversation.
Well, I want to add a couple more things to it practically.
Please do.
I mean, for the girls, I love what you're saying about he should be asking girls to homecoming. And I want girls to go. I have so many girls who will try and go out of town so they don't have to say yes. So they don't have to go and have the same awkward conversation across the dinner table. And a couple things I would say. One is I want her to have good, healthy male role models in her life. If you're a single mom raising your daughter, that she has a granddad, she has an uncle, she has different friends of yours. I had a precious family that I worked with who the mom lost her husband, and there were men in her community that just surrounded her. I've had so many girls go get pancakes with at school with other dads in their community over the years. And so really good role models. And I think even in that, talk with her about the kind of guy she wants to marry someday. Talk about your husband if you're married and why you love him. I want them to hear the qualities, not just the attributes that I think sometimes girls move towards, like they're attractive, whatever it is, that are silly and surfacey, but more of the qualities of who someone is. It's super specific, but I want us to think about that. And I want us to think about giving her chances to connect with boys in high school, even if we're setting things up, girls and guys, and, you know, we're having all the kids over, whatever it is. And in college, to ask questions back to the campus ministry, not where are you going to meet boys? Because I think that feels pressure, but where are you going to meet people? Where are you going where you're right. around a lot of people? Because it's really important, because in this age of social anxiety, I think a lot of them can hang back so much. And then lastly, I would say, I think we talk so much about the Enneagram. I think the Enneagram is a great tool for any of us, young adults, maybe in particular, that helps develop more discernment. As far as understanding, I wish I'd had the Enneagram when I was dating in college to know, okay, I can think about a guy that I dated as a young adult who I think was a one. And now when I think back, now that I'm thinking about it, I can think about a guy who was a two. And I can think back to comments they made to me that made me feel not uncomfortable in a scary way, but demeaned or something like that, that I think was more about them and their issues than it was about me, but I didn't understand back then. And we don't think the Enneagram's the end all be all, but we think it is an amazing tool for any of us to develop understanding and discernment. And so that can be a great place to lean in with kids as they're starting to date of, what have you noticed? What do you think are the strengths and the weaknesses of that number? If you think, take the Enneagram with him or with her, that'd be really fun. I have so many girls who love to do that with guys that they're dating. They'll introduce it to them. Just can be a helpful place for them to develop more awareness, more discernment as they're moving forward.
I love that.
Anything else you'd add?
Can I throw out a couple more
practicals? Yes.
So we have not, in our last conversation about who they are or in this conversation about what they need, talked about substance use, which feels so important, obviously, when we're talking about college kids. And we didn't purposefully, because we did a deep dive into that in our podcast episode with Jessica Leahy, who wrote an amazing book called The Addiction Inoculation. And she has an entire chapter on talking with college age kids about substances. She even has a list of schools where there's greater vulnerability for substance use and abuse. And so we would strongly recommend you go back and check out that episode.
Yes.
We also have an episode with a great and wise man named David McGee that we're really excited about. So would encourage you to check out that episode as well. And then a couple other practicals that I'd love to throw into the mix
that we've
talked about before.
I would love it.
Is that I think on behalf of the amazing girls we love, it could be a helpful practice for you to watch a documentary with your daughter called The Hunting Ground.
I've never seen it.
I made my daughter watch that documentary before she went to school, and it's all about sexual violence on college campuses. Mm. And I didn't do it to scare her, but to inform her. And I want to be very clear in saying it is a hard watch, but they will talk a lot about the intersection of how much sexual violence on college campuses happens around substance misuse. And so
that's a great
I think it's a really important conversation to have with girls before they go to college. I had my boys watch it as well. Wow. And within that, required my daughter to take a self-defense class too.
Which we already talked about
with adolescent girls. So if you've not heard Sissy say it before, we're echoing that recommendation again. And I think it's all part of the wisdom of what you were talking about, of just helping girls develop more discernment, helping them lean into that God-given gift of intuition you talk about beautifully that they have too, and thinking about applying those things into those spaces. So it did feel important that we make mention of that, and those would be some resources we love and podcast episodes to go back to.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And now we're going to get to hear some words of wisdom from our dear friend, Melissa Trevathan.
Often when you walk into the Yellow House where Daystar lives, you will smell something so wonderful coming from our kitchen. Now, daily there's popcorn and there's spiced tea, but ever so often we will get a text that says, "I left some banana bread in the kitchen for all the staff." Or, "I decided to make some soup," and you smell it and your mouth starts to water. But when you walk into the kitchen, when you lay your eyes on it, it is like, oh, and it's always there by a little sign that has staff. You hear about it, you see it, you smell it, but if that's where you stop short, you miss the very best experience. And you know what I'm talking about. This is so simple. And I guess it's why so often in the scripture, it talks about tasting. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see." Not just see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Open your mouth and taste that soup. Open your mouth and taste that bite that you cut off. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Taste and see. So the first thing that I would say that stage five kids need is to experience truth. Not just see, not just hear teaching, not just hear your words of wisdom, but it's to taste it, to experience truth. Taste in the Bible is used literally many times, but it's also used figuratively. It means it's a sense of experiencing something to see how good it is. In Psalm 119:103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And in the Message, it says, "Your words are so choice, so tasty. I prefer them to the best home cooking." To taste, to experience something. And that's really what I'm wanting to say about stage five kids and what they need to experience truth. Not just hear about it, not just be reminded over and over again by very wise parents, I'm sure, but to experience themselves. David just talked about the experiencing during the summer. Sissy just said, "All my life, he has been faithful." Both are talking about the experience that they have had, tasting truth, experiencing truth. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? It's used figuratively there. But how do you do that? How does a 20-something, or how do any of us experience truth? Kevin Queens, a minister at Cross Point Church here in Nashville, talked about gratitude. And I realized as I was listening to him, that is one way to experience truth. It's doing something. It is actually experiencing, opening your mouth and tasting of the goodness of God through gratitude. And he said, "Gratitude is a powerful weapon against entitlement, selfishness." I love that because we can try so hard not to be selfish. Stage five kids can try so hard not to have a sense of entitlement, and you can tell them how wrong it is. But there is the power of gratitude. Having gratitude is a weapon against that. So when I say experience truth, gratitude is one way to experience truth. Another way is worship. Eugene Peterson says in his book, Along Obedience in the Same Direction, worship is an act that develops feelings for God. It's not having a feeling and then worshiping. So first, what stage five young adults need is to experience truth. And gratitude is one way to experience, to actually taste, to experience truth. Worship is a way to experience truth. So along with experiencing truth, there's something else that I have seen, especially in the summer when we have college kids who are on our staff at Hopetown. They have a shared sense of purpose, which really I think is what equals to friendship. They share a sense of purpose. I watch them become closer to each other, all from different schools so often. Many of them that didn't know each other before they came. They begin to be in relationship. I also watch in between camp when the kids are not there and we're just resting and eating and playing on the lake. It's so much fun. It's a great time. But I can see that what really brings them together into a closeness is when they have a purpose, when they are moving towards something together. I know a lot of kids at this age have such longings for friendship, to be close. And that, again, as we've said so often, is a longing that God has put within us. Here's a quote, again, by Eugene Peterson about friendship and how important it is. He says, like the sacramental use of water and bread and wine, friendship takes what's common in human experience and turns it into something holy. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I believe that this age group really, really needs during this time in their lives is a shared sense of purpose. I want to do something. And when they share a mission or helping someone, there is a sense of purpose. And they begin to, without even trying, they begin to develop relationship. So again, what do they need? Experience truth. And then second, shared sense of purpose, of doing something together. And from that, they develop friends, which is a deep longing. But it comes from that experience again. And just going back to the first verse that I talked about, oh, taste. And even though this is so simple, I think we miss it so often. What it means to experience, to actually taste. And I think that is in the scripture so much, what it means to taste and see, to experience truth, and to share a sense of purpose. Thank you.
David, what a team we have that we get to call friends who help make this podcast possible.
Amanda Young, our operations manager.
Chris Starrett, our engineer and producer.
Our management team at KCH.
And we are thrilled to be a part of the That Sounds Fun Network.
Our music was created by the insanely talented Dave Haywood of Lady A.
And if this podcast felt helpful to you, please consider subscribing, liking, sharing, all the things.
We are grateful for you and cheering you on always.